We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
More with Wiggy and Raymer right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
The first incident report was filed March 5th. Both Tyreek Hill and his fiancée, Crystal Espinal, are named in that report at Hill's Overland Park home. The nature of that call? Child abuse, neglect. That police report shows the case as closed 3 days later, noting prosecution declined, but not detailing why. And late Thursday afternoon, a second police report was filed at the same Overland Park address. This time, the criminal nature of the call is battery, listing a juvenile as the victim. The only other person named in that report is Hill's fiancée, Crystal Espinal. Espinal and Hill have a 3-year-old child together.
So at this point, charges have not been filed. We have made every attempt to contact Hill. Hill's agent hung up on us when we called and has not returned a voicemail. We are still waiting to hear back from the NFL. We also know Espinal is pregnant with twins.
Oof. So obviously a brutal situation.
Done in KC.
Brutal situation. News over the weekend. It's Wiggy and Reamer. It's WEEI 617-779-7937. So this news broke, Wig, late Friday afternoon. Two reports of child abuse or neglect at Hill's house. Police arrived there on March 5th and March 14th. So just on Thursday was their most recent visit. Reading this from the KC Star, the March 5th incident involved a call to police to investigate a report of child abuse or neglect. The case was closed 3 days later with a decision not to prosecute. The second report does not include Hill's name, but he lives at the address listed on the police documents, and his fiancée's name appears under a category described as others involved. The KC Star also reporting that the second incident resulted in Hill's 3-year-old son suffering a broken arm. And of course, as it's also mentioned, Hill in 2014... did strangle his then-pregnant girlfriend, Crystal Espinal, who had this child. He also hit her repeatedly, so brutal stuff for Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, I don't know how, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, how you can keep him on the roster. I mean, you had the situation with Kareem Hunt, and then, a couple days later.
And they kept him after three incidents last offseason,
right,
including the eventual domestic violence incident, which he's now suspended for.
Right, but as soon as there was a lot of backlash, like, oh,
yeah,
you know, what you knew about this guy's maybe temperament and whatnot, and then when the video came out, you basically said, all right, we're moving on from Kareem Hunt. Now, who knows if there's a video
That's the thing.
Tyreek Hill.
I mean, there's no video of Tyreek Hill trying to choke out his then pregnant girlfriend.
Right,
if there I don't know if he would have been drafted. I'm going to be honest.
It would have been
a rough visual.
It'd be really difficult because there was video of the Joe Mixon kid. Remember?
Right. That was the second. Right, but he only fell to the second round, I think. Mixon, right?
Yeah, something like that. But the thing that I'm saying is that if you're Kansas City and you're that organization and you've had two situations, within a year period with Kareem Hunt, now Tyreek Hill. Tyreek Hill had some, those, like you said, he had those situations before he got to the NFL. I don't know. And now you're talking about abuse on a kid?
If true, this is beyond disturbing.
Right, and I don't know. And somebody who has kids, right? I don't know, what potentially, if I was going to say, okay, maybe, because everything is speculation now, right?
Yes.
So now, how do we speculate what potentially could have happened? Maybe the kid's doing something and you as a, he's climbing on something or whatever it is, and it's high and it's this and it's that, and you're yelling, get down, and you grab his arm and you happen to grab it too aggressively, and the kids are very fragile,
right,
at 3 years old.
But it's worth noting, though, too, that we still don't know much about these incidents. No additional news has been broken on this since Friday afternoon, so we're at 36 hours about now with nothing new on Tyreek Hill, which is strange given this news environment. And the second report, March 14th, so Thursday, does not include his name. The police showed up at his address. His fiance's name is listed, but not Tyreek Hill. So, I mean, we don't know yet, Wiggy. We don't know enough.
We don't know enough, but there's been... we know that there's something going on there, right?
Obviously, obviously. Right? And his past really hurts him here. I mean, if you just read, you know, according to the Stillwater Police Department arrest report, this is the incident with his girlfriend, now fiance, Crystal Espinal, in 2014. His girlfriend at the time, Crystal Espinal, as we mentioned, showed up in an emergency room with cuts and bruises on her face and neck. The officer who filed the report noted that her lip was busted, she was wincing with pain, and that the mark under her eye was turning purple as she spoke. Espinal, who was 8 weeks pregnant at the time, said Hill had grabbed her neck with his hands, pinned her against the wall, and then threw her to the ground like a rag doll. She told an officer that Hill had picked her up by her hair and put her in a headlock after Espinal had screamed, "I can't breathe," several times. She says he released her, then sat on top of her and punched her in the stomach.
Right.
I mean, that is wow.
That is very, very disturbing.
And that is not a guy who, right, I'm going to automatically give the benefit of the doubt to.
No, that's going to, you know, that if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you have to know that, right? Here's his history, and it's so graphic and disturbing. Now there's an incident where we don't necessarily know, but the incident is one of them was reported by her, right? With the child abuse.
She went to the emergency room in 2014.
No, I'm talking about with the child.
I don't know that.
Okay, so there
it does not specify in the article.
Even the one on March 5th doesn't specify as far as...
No, I don't. At least you read something differently. I've not read who called the police.
Okay, so we know that the March 5th incident of the neglect and...
Right, child abuse or neglect, right?
Child
that was
abuse
the first
or
call.
Neglect.
But again, worth noting, the case was closed 3 days later and they decided not to prosecute it.
I know, prosecute on... See, this is where
on
I'm...
criminal grounds,
right,
obviously.
This is where I'm trying to figure out, okay, how was the case closed? Was it the prosecution said, all right, there's nothing here,
right,
we can't figure anything out, or was it something that the fiance, girlfriend goes, oh, well, you know what, it really didn't happen like that, and now the prosecutor goes, we don't have enough because our witness or potentially our star witness isn't willing to testify or isn't willing to corroborate the story now again. So there's something here. All I'm saying, if you are the Kansas City Chiefs, even if there's no evidence, we live in a society nowadays, it's not innocent until proven guilty. It's guilty to proven innocent.
But that's not good.
It's not good. But that, hey, listen, blame your people because that's the
Who?
World. Your left-wing nut job.
No. It depends.
The world we live in. You're guilty till proven innocent. And most
both
of the,
sides feying up the faux outrage.
Right,
rather.
But most of the time it's the real extreme left-wing nut jokes.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no, we have an issue with that,
right,
for sure. Yeah,
so,
well,
that's why. And so now if you're Kansas City, you have to be saying, listen.
But if you're the Chiefs, though, I mean, you're not going to – you're going to wait until the details come out here.
I think you're gonna wait for the details. But I think there's going to be something here, right? Unless the details come out, unless it's like the other incident where it's kind of like there's not enough here to prosecute or do anything. I don't know.
The NFL personal conduct policy says nothing about guilt or innocence.
Well, that's the NFL, though. I'm not talking about...
Well, I'm just saying, you know, in terms of the, like what the league or team does. You know, I don't know if like guilt or innocence necessarily means anything, you know?
Yeah, that's the effed up thing in the league, right? Because let's say this case gets... this case gets thrown out and it just kind of goes away. Nothing. Come to find out, it was, you know, the kid fell off of a slide in the backyard or whatever.
Right.
You know, and say they're not able to go anywhere. Say they can't show any type of neglect, any type of abuse or that kind of thing. Now, the league, like you said, can go, well, we can suspend Tyreek Hill, which is wrong because there's no real evidence, but they could say, well, you know what, just by you being involved in this is enough to kind of make the league, because the league is all about this, protect the shield. I know you've heard that before.
I've heard it once or twice, yes.
Right.
Yes.
It's all about don't make the league look bad. So even if there was a situation where there's no criminal charges, it's too late. You already made the league look bad. Now Goodell's going to levy
that in general is the risk when you draft a guy like Tyreek Hill, and I tweeted this out the other night. So Hill falls from the second round to fifth round,
right,
much like Aaron Hernandez fell with the Patriots the second round years ago. And a lot of people go, oh, low risk. This is a low risk signing. Wow, second round talent falls to the fifth. What a win for the Chiefs. It goes, this is the risk. that he may be involved in something like this. In every news story across the country this weekend, Tyreek Hill, Kansas City Chiefs. And if these reports are true, and if the worst suspicions are correct, then the Chiefs for the last few years have been propping up a guy who tried to choke out his then-pregnant girlfriend and then broke his 3-year-old's arm.
But I don't.
That is rough.
But
that is terrible.
I don't necessarily.
If again, the worst is true.
I mean, I don't necessarily blame the Chiefs, right? Because the Chiefs, they did take a risk on a guy, right? I feel everybody deserves a second chance.
Well, Tyreek Hill did express contrition, at least publicly, in the aftermath of his domestic incident.
That's what I'm saying. As long as you're showing remorse and you're like, listen, what I did was wrong, I believe that you now deserve a second chance.
I think so, too. I mean, it's tough. You go back and forth. But, yeah, I mean, right. So should you never have the right to earn a living?
Right. And like I said, it's the same way if a guy goes to jail and he does a 10-year bid. When he comes out, he deserves the opportunity to make a living and take care of his family.
I guess the argument against that would be nobody is denying Tyreek Hill's, rights for employment in another field. You don't have the privilege of, again, playing in the NFL,
Shield. But that's your field, right? That's where you make your living.
No, like, I agree with you.
My living is, I can't just say, I'm going to go be a doctor and say, hey, can you hire me? Even though I did make a mistake over here, they're going
to
be
don't get in the way of someone trying to make a living.
Right.
Right, Wig? Get in the way.
Unless your name is Alex Reamer and you don't want to see people of a different race.
No. We're taking my spot. Rubbing dimes around here. Mike Edelman and some crumbs.
So when you look at this situation, I don't necessarily blame them. I know that they said, hey, we're going to take a risk on a guy like Tyreek Hill. And he's probably been a model citizen up until those points.
Well, as we know of.
And we know. But if there was some out there in this day and age, you don't think we'd hear about it?
Yeah, we might not have. Absolutely.
If there was something that happened from the incident that he had back in 2014 to before the situation of the child, you don't think we would have heard about that?
Yeah, it's possible that he didn't get arrested for something, that the police weren't called. Absolutely. If the worst is true and he did, and his 3-year-old son's arm got broken during this incident, I don't think that happens overnight. There may be a pattern of abuse there, I would say.
Yeah, and so now if you're Kansas City,
just maybe hasn't been caught.
You want to run that risk, right? You already took the risk of going to get him. Now you're in a situation where it's about trying to save face with the whole Kareem Hunt thing, right? And now you got the Tyreek.
If this is true and he's gone from the Chiefs, and I don't think we should ever play in the NFL again.
Right,
I mean,
but do you want to run that risk of potentially, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, do you want to run that risk of, well, now we might end up with something coming out and it does go the wrong way? Or do you go, we want to wash our hands of him now?
What do you mean?
Like I said, if you're the Kansas City Chiefs, you have to make a decision.
You have to do anything until we find out more information.
But do they want?
You think the Chiefs should release him right now?
Do they want to wait around?
We'll see what happens.
But do they want to wait around and know that potentially something bad could be coming out of this?
But he also could be exonerated.
That's true.
March 5th again. 3 days later, they decided not to prosecute.
That's true.
We'll see what happens on Thursday.
But I don't know. There's so many questions, and like I said, there's so much speculation going on now where people are going to go, like, even though, like I said, you're guilty until you actually.
That doesn't mean that organizations have to abide by that.
Sentiment. But does the organizations know that it's all about public perception, right?
No, it's not.
For them, as far as money and revenue and that
this
kind of thing.
This situation, and that's why this keeps happening, and teams keep taking risks on these guys. This won't affect the Chiefs' bottom line one iota.
You don't think a little bit?
No. In 2014, at the height of the domestic violence crisis, NFL ratings went up, and NFL ratings among females went up. In 2014, Ray Rice, Peterson, Greg Hardy, all within several weeks of each other, ratings among females increased in 2014. That tells me that, no, this stuff does not affect the bottom line. Did Aaron Hernandez affect the Patriots' bottom line?
I mean, but that was a different situation, you know?
Like, what do you mean? It was worse, arguably. Killed people.
Yeah, but I think that when you look at the situation, they didn't bring him back from after he killed somebody and that there was rumors out there.
But he did. I mean, he was involved in that double homicide in August of 2012. He played a full season after that.
But nobody knew about that.
I understand.
The Kansas City Chiefs knew about Tyreek Hill's background. And they were
the Patriots knew about Hernandez's background too.
Well, but that, I mean, never that he killed anybody.
No, but I mean, they knew he had an incident in Florida with the guns. I mean, Hernandez had a lot of stuff in his background.
But was,
I mean, that's why he dropped to the second round.
But it was never to the serious
bar fights.
Right. That, but that's everybody. We just saw an offensive lineman get knocked out, and one of the Carolina Panthers offensive linemen got completely the lights put out on him in some bar fight that he had. So they know that happens all the time. But when you're talking about domestic violence and you're talking about hitting a woman, that's something that when you take a guy, there's going to be a lot of backlash with that. If a guy gets in a bar fight like the Kareem Hunt situation.
Yeah, but there was a gun incident too with Hernandez when he was in college. It was more than just a run-of-the-mill
right,
bar
even
fight.
But even a gun situation, it wasn't like he put.
I'll have to look up the particulars.
But it wasn't like he pulled a gun on somebody and there was out there that he shot at somebody. The point that I'm making is when they know that, hey, some of these guys do some stupid stuff in college, but when you're talking about domestic violence where you're actually hitting a woman, organizations know that if we take you, people, it might not affect their bottom line, but people are then now going to look at the organization a certain way. And then if you have something come up after that, now that's going to be a black eye on the organization.
Right, but the Chiefs have to wait and to see what comes out of this investigation because, again, Wiggy, it may have been a mishap. We don't know. I mean, you really think Chiefs release him today?
I don't know if they release him today, but I think that they ultimately move on from this guy.
But again, what if it comes out that Hill wasn't involved in the second incident?
Well, you would have to have clear cut evidence.
Of course.
But if it's just like it happened with the first one, where it's just like it kind of just disappeared, people are still going to have the perception that, oh, okay, there was something there, but she didn't want to testify, something to that effect. That's how people are going
to
look.
Yes, I agree. We need more information. It has to be clear cut, but we also need to see what else comes out. And I agree. That's the public culture. Outrage, but you can't bow to that. You can't bow to that. You have to wait to see what the details are if you're the Chiefs and the NFL. But I agree. Ultimately, I mean, you know, this is the risk you take when you are involved with guys like Tyreek Hill. They get caught up in stuff like this, you know? And this is the risk the Chiefs take. And now John Dorsey is in Cleveland bringing on Kareem Hunt.
Right.
You know?
But the Kareem Hunt situation, he's got his punishment. He's going to serve his, what is it, eight games?
Eight games, right.
He's going to serve his eight games, you know. Has he been remorseful about the situation? I think a little bit. You know,
I mean, he did his obligatory interview with
right,
ESPN.
Right. Some will argue whether or not it's enough for this, that, and the other. For me, the way I look at the Kareem Hunt or the way I look at the Tyreek Hill situation or any situation is, what do you do after that moving forward? Do you keep your name out of the press? Are you keeping your name out of situations like this? Are you now living a law-abiding citizen?
Yeah, you're abiding by the law, right?
Right.
Are police not coming to your house on reports of child abuse or neglect
right.
or other domestic
issues? And that's the thing. They've come to the house twice, so
right.
there's got to be something there.
I agree with you, Wiggy. I agree. I'm also not, as I said earlier, not going to give the benefit of the doubt to the guy who, you know, almost killed his pregnant girlfriend 5 years ago.
But that's what I'm saying. If you're the Kansas City Chiefs and you do nothing, people are going to look at it like there's got to be something there. They came to the house twice.
Right. Well,
why?
Right. We'll hopefully find that out. It is a little weird. Almost 48 hours later, we haven't had no information. 617-779-7937. Not to be callous and shallow, though, Wig, but from a football perspective, mm-hmm. I mean, AFC just gets easier and easier
right.
for the Patriots.
If you're a Pats fan, this is a good thing. Let's be honest.
Well,
it's a good thing in the sense for your organization versus their organization.
I mean, if this is true and they move on from Hill, then it leaves the Chiefs in a real bind. We'll do that next with your calls on this. Reamer and Wiggy, Sports Radio, WEI.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
More with Wiggy and Raymer right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Little rock twist to the Irish jig this time.
But this isn't really like for true Irish people.
No, they don't like this.
This is like, what would you say? This is like Americanized, right?
Americanized. It's not the real deal.
It's not authentic.
It's pop, is what it is.
Zing Green.
Oh yeah, here we go. This is usually where I am on Sundays, but I'm here with Wiggy instead. Missing my church time, 10 a.m. every Sunday. I'm right there. I've only been to church once in my life.
But that's a black church right there.
Well, so I told you, I'm in Roxbury now. I'm a diverse guy.
You go to a black church?
Many things.
You got to be careful.
Told you, I was running down Mass Ave the other day.
I don't know. You got to be careful at certain black churches. Their acceptance of you wouldn't be, they would try to want to change you and heal you.
No. And maybe they would, though. Maybe they would. I'm open to that.
It depends. Like, you know, they would want to change.
I understand where you're getting at.
They would not like the vibes.
They would feel bad vibes.
Devil is upon you.
He is. I mean, you knew the reasons why. And look at my behavior. Wouldn't you say the devil is probably upon me? I mean, I back that up.
I don't judge people for what they do. And there's a lot of churches, there's a lot of frauds in there. You got to be careful.
We agree on that, Wiggy. Talking about the, there we go. Whilst we have the St. Patrick's Day breakfast as well, I think, happening as we speak. I think that starts at 10. One of Jerry's favorites. All his favorites are speaking. Liz Warren, Ed Markey, the mayor.
Well, you can't ruin
the governor, Ayanna Pressley, all Jerry's favorites.
Today's Jerry's day. There's no way you can ruin his day.
Lizzie Warren speaking at the St. Patrick's Day breakfast, I think is pretty close. So you mentioned, though, like the Chiefs, what's going on there? Mm-hmm. Hill is undecided, but even look at what happened to them on defense this offseason. You lose Houston, cut him, you trade Dee Ford, you get Tyrann Mathieu, who's at this advanced age. Eric Berry's no longer with you. I'm reading the story now. Josh Harris, a former Steelers running back, accused Roethlisberger of intentionally fumbling a ball in a game in 2014 to protest a called play from then coordinator Todd Haley. It just speaks further to the discord that permeates throughout the Steelers. I mean, the path in the AFC, Wiggy, is just...
It gets easier. Yeah, the role...
Maybe all they need is Maurice Harris. Maybe the Patriots are right.
After the way they won it last year?
I mean, yeah.
Do you really need to go out there and guarantee a guy $23 million?
Doesn't look like it.
And if you're the Patriots and you're looking at it, and Belichick, in his mind, defense wins championships.
Right.
But he knows on offense he's got the greatest quarterback of all time. So any deficiencies that they have on the offensive side of the football, you know what? Tom Brady can make up for that. So I don't need to go out. You know, I try to get my Humphreys guy. Couldn't get him. But
Brady is still human. He's still annoyed outmaneuvered.
But Adam Humphreys. No, I also.
They lost out on Tate.
I also see the Patriots maneuvering and making a move to get a guy. Like, you know, let's say they go after a guy, like they maybe bring in a Crabtree or Randall Cobb.
I think Michael Crabtree would mesh with Brady. All he does is run straight down the field.
I didn't say that, but I could see them going after and bringing guys of those guys. And, hey, you want to rejuvenize your career? You want to sign a one-year deal? Have a great year, play with Brady, and then look at the money that you're able to make.
But there's no long-term investment in the receiving core either. Nobody besides Matthew Lacoste is a signed past 2019, but receivers or tight ends.
But look at it last year. We sat here and we complained about their receiving core last year.
And it was bad.
It was very similar to what they're doing this year.
Except
they didn't even make a play on a big name free agent. At least we know they made a play on Humphries.
Well, they were so desperate they had to bring in Josh Gordon.
Right. We know they made a play, but you get Edelman at the beginning of the year, so you got Edelman
for now. We mentioned he's coming off an Achilles injury. He had the bad foot injury,
knee injury.
Mm-hmm. He had a bad foot injury a few years ago.
But he played last year and he played very well. Edelman played very well. To me, that's weak when people go, well, you know, he's an injury away, or he's coming off. And no, he played all last year, so he's not coming off that injury no more. He played through that injury last year. It was fine. He had a great season. Now he's in a position where he's not dealing with that. That knee is probably not a factor to him no more. So Edelman is the guy you're going into the season. You got Julian Edelman. You know what you get out of him. And yes, every player could get hurt, but we could say that about every player and every team all across.
Yeah, but the odds of a slot receiver is 33, just coming off the knee injury, as you mentioned. We know the injury history Edelman has. The odds are higher for him than other players, like they are for Gronk.
But
I think it's fair to say every year.
Was he hurt last year? Was Edelman hurt last year?
No, after his suspension, he played in every game.
Right. So as far as we know, Julian Edelman had a good year last year after coming off the suspension. It dealt with no injuries. Now we know. Now he's a year out of the injury, meaning he's.
Yeah, but he's also a year older. He's taking more hits.
Right, he's played through that. So looking and saying, well, okay, here's a guy that is coming off an injury. No, he's played through that. We know what he is. If anything, he's probably going to feel better this year than he did last year about that injury.
Wes Walker's career was basically over once he reached his mid-30s. I mean, the shelf life for slot receivers in their mid-30s is not great. It just isn't.
I mean, but that's, you know, who knows? We haven't seen any slippage out of Julian Edelman.
He had more drops last year, though.
Yeah, but he's always been a guy
top of the league in drops.
He's always been a guy that drops the ball a lot. You just look at the way he frames the ball and the way he catches the ball. He turns his hands inside, so he's always been that type.
Like Welker, he catches it in the Super Bowl.
Yeah, that's you make the critical and big catches. That's all I care about. And you look at him. You got Gronkowski. Now you know that you like to run the ball a little bit more. And they look at their running back situation. I know one of the callers talked about Jeremy Hill. Here's a guy that we haven't even talked about.
Well, exactly, because he's not worth talking about.
Well, no, that's because he got hurt. But when they signed him last year, everybody was like, you're getting a very, very talented player.
Really?
Well, you don't think Jeremy Hill had a good, when he was in Cincinnati, you think he was a pretty decent player?
He was decent.
Okay.
He's like a...
But so you add him to a
backup running back.
But you add him to a backfield, and you put him alongside, you know, Rex Burkhead. You can't keep all those guys. But you got Burkhead, you got James White, you got Sony Michel. You look at that, where you are offensively, and you're going to say, you don't know who the guy is that's going to step up a little bit this year. Who could that be?
I told you, I like Maurice Harris. Hey. Top 20 in terms of drop rate among receivers, at least 40 targets.
And you know who has a big year this year? I think is going to have a really good year. Philip Dorsett, watch.
I agree with you there. But a one-year deal, and then he's
that's
gone.
All right.
Well, so, but what's the long-term plan at receiver? I mean, if they draft someone, great, but look at the track record. Bethel Johnson, Taylor Price, Dobson, Chad Jackson.
When's the last time they had a long-term solution at wide receiver outside of what the guys that they already have?
Well, I mean, they've had years where guys are signed past the season. I mean, this year, Lacoste is the only one who was signed beyond 2019.
But even with those guys, when you look at the wide receiver position, when's the last time you go, ooh, man, they got a good one?
Well, they traded a first rounder for Brandon Cooks just 2 years ago.
Right, but you know, when you look at Brandon Cooks, he was a very, very good player, but they were able to win a Super Bowl without him. You look at the Patriots at the wide receiver position, they've really never went crazy in the free agent market or signing guys in the free agent market to big money.
But they have brought in veteran receivers and pass catchers before. They brought in Martellus Bennett a couple years ago. They brought in Brandon LaFell a few years ago. They brought in Amendola to replace Welker.
Right.
I mean, they have brought in veterans
who can catch the ball before. They're not going to do it.
Yeah, but anyone left a scrap heap. Jordy Nelson, Randall Cobb at this stage.
Those guys were still scrap.
Brandon
LaFell was scrap heap when the Patriots went and got him.
Not like 33-year-old Jordy Nelson.
But They didn't sign. Did Pat sign Jordy Nelson?
No, but he's one of the guys who's out there. Garcons.
But those guys were scrap heap guys. When you look at Brandon LaFell, he was a scrap heap guy. When they brought in Martellus Bennett, Martellus Bennett was kind of a scrap heap guy. He wasn't a guy that you looked at was coming off a great season.
Yeah, but a much higher ceiling than anyone they've brought in so far.
Well, they've only brought
in a much better track record.
They only brought in a couple of guys.
Well, right, and we'll see what happens. But right now it's March 17th, and they haven't brought in any of those guys.
It's still early. Who's to say what happens with the draft?
Of course.
Maybe they trade, so that's why you don't hit the panic button.
No, but...
Do you know they're going to do something?
No, and with all this said, I still think the Patriots use their draft capital, what is it, 6 picks of the first 3 rounds, to trade for a legit veteran wideout. I still think a big move is coming. I do. Right. But guess what? It's March 17th, and this is the day we're doing the show. And today, they've signed Bruce Ellington, Matthew Acosta, and Maurice Harris. Tom is in Connecticut. What's up, Tom?
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Hey.
2 points. Well, first of all, I think Andy Isabella is... I think he's going to... You know, if they go for this guy...
Okay, first explain who this Meters guy, UMass, right, Andy Isabella?
He led the nation in catches and yardage and all types of categories.
Have you seen his clips?
Yeah, I've seen him play. He's a UMass guy.
Tremendous hands, and did you see him against Georgia?
Yep.
I mean,
I didn't, no.
I think he's going under the radar.
Yeah, but Tom, let's look at Belichick's track record, though. As I mentioned, on second and third round wideouts, we got Chad Jackson, Bethel Johnson, Taylor Price, Aaron Dobson, Josh Boyce. I mean, it's not great.
I feel different about this guy.
Okay. Yeah,
I mean, you
look at this guy. He worked out with Moss. I've watched him play at UMass. I'm going to give you a little insight of who Andy Isabella is. He was second in the country in receptions with 102, first in yardage, right? Mm-hmm. So when you look at the tight end, now granted he was playing at UMass, and so the level of competition,
careful, Wiggy.
No.
Offend me.
Hold on. I'm not going to say that the level of competition is not good, but it's not like SEC caliber. But when he did play against Georgia, he had a tremendous game against Georgia, which is SEC caliber.
Why do you think Belichick, though, can't draft and develop receivers the few times he's tried?
I don't know. I think he hit on Malcolm Mitchell. Malcolm Mitchell just got hurt.
Yeah, but he's not here anymore.
Well, that's because injuries. Well, that wasn't, you know, something that it's, you know.
Where is he now, Malcolm Mitchell?
He's not playing nowhere.
Right.
But I don't know. And Isabella,
I don't call that a hit.
And the thing about Isabella is what a lot of people don't realize. This guy's one of the fastest guys out of the combine. He ran a 4.3, like 2 or something.
What was your combine time?
I didn't go to the combine, but my pro day time was like 4.75, somewhere around that.
Combine just seems so silly to me these days. Silly.
No, it's good. I think if you're a player, it's good for a player. It can rise your stock. Look what it did for the wide receiver there. What the hell's his name? The kid from Ole Miss, Metcalf. DK Metcalf.
There you go, John Anderson.
Look at DK Metcalf's stock by going in a combine.
Yeah, but why? You know, these guys are...
Well, because that's how...
I like the full spandex suit, I will say that.
Well, you would be good in the front office because that's
how... I would.
That's how a lot of front office people view...
I will only go to the combine.
Right, they look at guys and go, wow, look at this guy, he looks unbelievable.
And Jerry Callahan, who claims that he watched every minute of the combine.
I watch a lot of combine.
I believe you do, but seeing Jerry is just funny to me. Jerry Callahan.
No, Jerry's a football guy.
He's
got a little football guy in you, but the kid Isabella... is going to be a slot guy. But they have their guy in Braxton Berrios.
I love Braxton Berrios. I'm on the Braxton Berrios train.
He's the Julian Edelman replacement.
That because he's a white slot guy. Come on.
Well, but that's what he is.
It's the prototype.
Yeah, that's the reason why that position is mainly, you know, made up of those type of guys. And it's not that Troy Brown was a slot guy. He was black.
He was.
But that position is, you know, generally because
And still is black, Troy Brown.
Is he?
Yes.
I haven't seen him in a while. I didn't know if he converted. No. But you look at the slot position and you see a lot of, a lot of players, especially white players that, you know, might not have as much speed but are super quick, and they put them in there because that's the quick guy's got to be able to make guys miss. And they're very and a lot of them have quality, the punt returner ability to make guys miss. So
I'm telling you, this Berrios, I like the prototype. He's 6th round pick, so, right. You know, comes back. And also a very handsome man as well. So he replaces Edelman where it matters. 617-779-7937. Reamer with Jermaine Wiggins.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
More with Wiggy and Raymer right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
So he loses Gronk. I know that he's got Hall of Famer Julian Edelman on his side. But for the most part, you know, he's losing his best offensive weapon. The Jets are getting, what, one of the top five offensive players in the league to help Sam Darnold this year, who's entering his second season. I don't think it's, you know, out of the realm of possibility that Sam Darnold could have a really good season in 2019 and Tom Brady could take, you know, a couple steps back at the age of, what, 70.
Manish, when was the last time you were this excited about a Jets quarterback and a Jets offseason?
The last one.
No, Sam Darnold's the best quarterback that I've covered in the last 10 years, without a doubt. There's not a close second.
Better than Sanchez.
Oh, much better than Sanchez. It's not even close. Even when Sanchez was winning games, it wasn't because of Sanchez. It was because they had a great running game and a great defense and a great offensive line. Now, Sam Darnold's clearly an extremely talented player who I think is going to take a step forward in his second season. I just think it's funny because, look, I love Tom Brady. I think he's the best quarterback in the history of football, but he is, in all seriousness, what, he's 41 now? I lost track.
That was the great Manish Mehta on with OMF, Lou Christian, and Volan Friday. His crazy tweet wig, Sam Darnold, who says the best quarterback in the AFC East, better than Brady, and surprisingly better than Josh Allen and Luke Falk in Miami.
See,
I don't know about that.
When you have people on like that, like, you almost got to, like, those people should be banned.
Ban Manish Mehta?
Like,
I love Manish.
You got to ban people who have like, it's, you could have a stupid take, that kind of thing. But to say that Sam Darnold is the best quarterback in the AFC East, that's not like a stupid take. That's like when you get into, like, Max Kellerman, Rob Parker type takes. That's a whole nother level.
Is that Kellerman level?
Is that Keller?
That's Jerry trying to pronounce Manish Mehta.
Is that Kellerman level? To say,
no, it's better than Kellerman.
Right.
There's more truth to the fact that Darnold could be better than Brady this year than the fact that Brady was falling off a cliff in 2016 before he wins the NFL MVP in two more Super Bowls and plays in three more.
Right, but even to say that,
impossible to be more wrong.
Even
Kellerman,
if you
was,
watch Sam Darnold play, you would go, "Oh, okay, maybe this guy has a bright future ahead of him," but he makes a lot of mistakes.
So to say that
he is the best quarterback in the, he's going to be the best quarterback in the AFC East when Tom Brady's in the AFC East. And even though you look at Tom Brady's year last year, which wasn't great, there's nothing that Sam Darnold could do this year that would even put him close to what Brady did last year. So to say that is just like,
what do you mean? He could have a huge jump.
Does Sam Darnold drive a Toyota?
Yes,
I do.
But to say Brady has another year like he did last year, I don't see that happening. I don't.
Why?
Because I don't see him making maybe some of the mistakes that he made last year. I don't see him trying to maybe force the ball in certain situations, which we try to see him last year. I think he's the type of quarterback that he learns every single year and he evolves every single year and says, all right, what did I do last year wrong? And how do I not put myself?
Oh, he totally does. But I mean, if his weapons are even worse than they were in 2018, I mean, might be some adjustment period. I mean, it could be rough for a few weeks this regular
you'll have Edelman to start the season off.
He will, but they also had, I mean, they lost to the Titans with Julian Edelman. They lost those games in December with progress. They were at 9, not even admitting that they were outmaneuvered and laid on Adam Humphries.
Well,
now we've gone to,
they're still not outmaneuvered.
You've admitted
but
that they lost
they
games.
They did lose
good.
Some games.
We're making progress.
Julian Edelman now will be here from day one.
He will.
And you didn't have him last year from day one. And
right.
You will have him.
But, I mean, it is a crazy take, but not as crazy as... It's not quite Carmen level. Darnold had some great games. He had a huge game against the Packers late last year. Some, like, 3 or 4 touchdowns in that game.
I'm not saying that he can't
great
get better.
Great opening night against Detroit.
I'm not saying he can't get better, but to say he's going to be better than Brady, no.
Jets have added, though. They've added. Be ready for the NYJ. You're okay if they come.
Well, they added Le'Veon Bell.
They
and I think that takes the ball out of Sam Darnold's hand.
That's good. So more that, options.
Right.
But and Bell is a receiver out of the backfield.
He's very talented. I like Le'Veon Bell. I think he's going to have a good year. I think he'll help out that Jets team.
Get ready for the Jets. That's what I tell the people.
That ain't happening.
Nine wins, baby. Nine or Oh, the issue is, too, so you go on this big offseason spending spree, and you entrust all this with Adam Gase, who is laughed out of Miami. That's a right. thing, too. You know, Cleveland, great. You get OBJ.
I forgot he was the coach.
Yeah. Isn't that terrible? Wow. All those brothers getting held down. Well, Adam Gase gets another job immediately. An immediate recycle. He didn't even have a moment to breathe. He gets fired from Miami, and the Jets pick him right up.
That's why the Jets won't be good.
See,
they're a big part of it.
Right, exactly. And Freddie Kitchens is the guy you're entrusting all that to in Cleveland, that combustible situation.
I don't think the Cleveland thing is going to be... I'm not one of those people. I think the Cleveland thing is going to blow up.
Yeah, we were on Tuesday night when the trade broke.
Yeah, too many personalities. That's going to blow up. I don't think they're going to have a big season. You look at all those personalities, like you said, a first-year coach in Freddie Kitchens, and then he has to deal with two of the biggest divas in the game at the wide receiver position, and then your quarterback is a diva too? Oof.
Yeah, right. The disparity has never been greater in terms of players and coaches.
Right.
And the people entrusted with those players.
And when you think about, and I just was thinking about like Baker Mayfield, like I could see him basically telling both of those guys, Beckham and Jarvis, to like shut the F up in the huddle while they're yelling and screaming at him. That's
a Jerry theory that OBJ somehow hinders Baker Mayfield's development, which I just don't see how that's possible.
I don't know if he hinders his development. I think the problem you have is that OBJ, his personality is big. He demands the football. He wants the football. And then you're going to have a guy in Baker Mayfield who has a big personality. And it's not like he just has Odell to throw it to. He now has Jarvis Landry on the other side.
David Njoku, too. Good tight end.
Yeah, very talented tight end. They're running back in Nick Chubb. They got Kareem Hunt. So there's
they do, yes.
So there's a lot.
John Dorsey knows how to pick him.
A lot of talent, and a lot of that talent has big egos and big personalities.
Speaking of which, we survived another shift together, Wiggy. Two big egos, two big talents, and big brains on both of us, I think. We are just, you know.
I could say yes, one of us. That
has a big ego, I agree. Yes, I am. I am very modest. When can we hear you on with the boys this week? Do you have your schedule yet?
I think I'm on tomorrow.
Oh, double dose. Oh, so you, wow, it's the Friday, Monday back-to-back.
I think. I'm not sure, though. I haven't received anything yet.
Because I want to tell the people I am scheduled for Tuesday and Friday.
I have no idea.
Twice a week Riggy Rain over after 1 week? Is that it?
No, I just might show up. I could just show up every day. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday.
Yeah? And push what? The third guy out of the studio?
Well,
I am not leaving this
you
chair.
You don't have to leave.
All 110 pounds of me. I'm not leaving.
It'll turn into a four-man show. You don't have to leave. I'm just saying I could get to the point where I'm just saying, you know what, the hell with it. I'm going in today. And there's nothing nobody can do about it.
That was your issue with Drolic last week. You feel like Drolic should have just stayed in the studio.
I thought he should have stayed. I thought he should have just stayed and said, you know what? I'm not going anywhere. Mutt, who are you to tell me to leave? Yeah, I know your name's on the show, but that's only because they had no one else to put their name on
the show. That was Mutt showing the most backbone that he's maybe ever shown on his airwaves.
I told Jerry, man, I said, I can't believe you bow down.
Well, it's good, though. Mutt is starting to throw his little weight around, that little body, a little tight body. Is
that what he started
around.
To do is throw his weight around?
Yes. Well, it's bulking season, as you know, S-Z-N, season. And, you know, he's feeling big, he's feeling good, the Mutt Man, and he's throwing his weight around.
That's what hurt Evan Drellick is hit when he left. He should have never left. Stand your ground, man. You stand your ground, and you keep fighting like, nah, I ain't leaving. So, I don't know, maybe I might, you know, do an Evan Drellick move where I just might show up.
So you're not going to show up at the St. Patrick's Day Parade. That's not where you're going after this.
No, that's
confirmed.
Not where I'll be.
Going back to your leafy suburb. I hear a rumor you live in a leafy suburb.
I do. I live in a very leafy suburb. My kids are not built for the city.
No,
they're not built for the city. They're suburban kids.
They're not tough like me.
You're not a suburban kid, though.
I am a suburban kid, though.
Oh, yeah, you're a suburban kid. You are now the city's a lot different than it used to be.
Now
the city's open to everybody. So now you can. It's a little bit easy to be a city kid.
Yes, and I also went to BU. So I mean, really,
yeah. There's no way you're from Natick. It's
Natick.
Like, come on,
the mean streets of Natick. Hey, Wiggy, the home of Doug Flutie.
I know who
I'm
Doug
with. I'm with the Flutes.
Yeah, I know. And the they've had very, very talented Fluties have come through Natick.
They have
the young nephews, and I've seen a couple of nephews play a few years back. But yeah, Natick is, you know, it's a nice place. My daughter goes to Framingham State, so I know.
Great.
So I've been to Natick.
My dentist used to be around there. And everyone needs to know that. So Wiggy, we'll hear you Monday, perhaps.
I'm not sure. I might just show up all week.
Just show up all week, week of Wiggy. All right, and bad news for you listeners, it's the Reamer Power Hour, and it's next.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during O'Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh,